Howdy there, internet friends. Welcome to the Bomb Dad Podcast, episode number 7, the Veterans Day episode. The gang and I, we spend the entire episode talking about Veterans Day and mental health matters. It was really, really long and deep conversation about taking care of yourself and getting the right resources to make sure you're doing well, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. Not going to have too long of an intro here because it's such a long episode and it kind of speaks for itself. All the links we mentioned in this episode you can find on our Facebook page. So enjoy. Without further ado, episode 7. Am I gonna have to cut this again?
No, it's a good one.
Okay.
You guys ever hear the one about the restaurant on the moon?
No.
Great food, no atmosphere.
Yeah. And that's the best way to start.
Good. Back again.
Back again.
Absolutely.
Episode 7. We're over the hump. We're over the hump. They say you do 7 episodes. They say, they being the powers that be in the podcast community, say it's a thing. It's a movement.
It is a movement. We're making moves. Big, big moves.
We also have Robin here for 2 full episodes back to back.
Rob!
Holy smokes, right?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. You know, it's coming up on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
We got a Veterans Day around the corner.
Yep.
Long weekend. So
I'm pretty excited.
Absolutely.
This is also the first Friday we've actually recorded on, I think, since we started this.
Right. We planned on it would always be Fridays.
Right.
And then life happened, and it wasn't always Fridays.
Yeah, I'm done with the life getting in the way. That came out completely wrong.
Veterans Day.
Yeah,
good times.
Big plans for Veterans Day, aside from going to every Applebee's in the Tri-County area.
All the free meals.
I'm going to Cracker Barrel.
On the free meals notes, let's just make sure people... We should all go get free meals, but then you should also be a decent human being and then tip really well because it was a free meal.
That is a really good point.
So,
nothing worse than getting a free meal and leaving a free tip.
Tip your waitress, people.
Yeah, so. I'll be here all night. That is true. It's nothing worse than,
it's got to be terrible for them.
Yeah.
Not terrible, but it's cool day. Like, you got a bunch of vets coming into your restaurant. You're handing them free meals. You want that to be a kind of a nice back and forth. And what's going to put a bigger stinker on that than some real super awesome senior airman just rolling in, getting his free meal with his buddies, and then that table leaving trashed and a minuscule amount of tip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking that more people leave a decent tip then don't.
It's true. I want there to be less, like, technically there should just be none. There should be no negative posts from waitresses or waiters the day after where they were stiffed by a vet.
I think what you're saying is don't be a boot, leave a tip.
Yeah, don't be a boot, leave a tip.
I'm pretty certain that's going to be a PSA that we're going to do.
I wonder how many people are going to be like, why are they boots?
Well,
it's what size boot.
It's a very directed advertising campaign. It's directed at our fellow veterans in uniform who don't know how to tip on their free meal.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah. Save us from making a PSA. Or don't, and we'll make
a
PSA.
Or I'll make fun of you in the next episode.
Either way.
Right?
So, other than free meals, my plans don't revolve around much. If the weather holds or cooperates, I may take care of the leaves that have been steadily piling up in the backyard.
Impossible.
You're right, it is impossible because half of them are still on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So while I might hit those down there, I mostly just want to hit them because I bought a leaf blower / eater.
Oh, I
and
see.
And so there's still the fun factor still exists in it.
Time to use the man machine.
Yeah, it's one. Mm-hmm. And then next year I'll be real bored with it and I'll make excuses about why I'm not doing the
leaves. So if you have a leaf eater,
yes.
Why don't you just eat the leaves off the trees?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I like where your plan's at. I'm probably going to need a scissor lift and or a boom truck with a bucket, but I can see where your head's at.
You don't climb trees?
I grew up on a farm. You're aware I am a true tree climbing aficionado.
So you should
but
be good.
But now you're asking me to climb with a shoulder slung leaf eating harness, majigger. And I feel like at this point in my life, 37 years old, in my super dad bod, I probably am just going to land out of the tree, not in a pile of leaves, because you've asked me not to blow them into a pile, just to eat them directly from the tree. Mm-hmm. So this is only going to end with me injured and you laughing.
Mama didn't raise no bitch.
I would ask that if you do this, Robin, make sure your kids are recording it so we can use it for
absolutely, for
advertising.
You should fill out a safety report first, though. As your
just pre-do it.
It probably just do it ahead of time, just pre-filled out. I'm old now, so I don't have to fill out like I'm gonna go do something crazy forms for the Air Force anymore.
What are you doing this weekend? 29 Bravo.
Those were good times. I felt like
I legit just thought there was something you had to do the whole time. No. Like if you were doing anything like reckless or
it's just for being dangerous.
Apparently, it's just like buying a rental or renting a rental car.
Yeah, just for your airmen. Like, hey, airmen, were you going to play video games in the dorm, or were you going to do basically anything else? If you're doing anything else, then fill out the form. I was at a, prior to them being global strike bases, I was at a nuke base, and you just filled them out every weekend regardless.
Yep.
Like, nobody's going to leave here until they've filled this out.
Yep. That was ACC policy for a long time.
Yeah.
Air Combat Command, for those non-Air Force friends out there, but... If it was a long weekend and you were under 30 years old,
yep,
you're filling out a 29B, which is awesome.
So nothing like being a full-grown adult who now feels like he's in high school.
Well, it was awesome.
Or middle school.
Being like a staff sergeant, married, kid.
Right.
And you still have to complete the high-risk activity form. It's like...
The only high-risk I'm getting into here is some diaper changing and some maybe a cramped wrist from all these video games.
Right?
So,
like,
I don't see how this is going to go bad for me.
I don't
me.
Know what other parents do in their free time or even what that is.
I think that's the one thing I'm looking forward to, getting out into the private sector or starting this business is the over-adulting we sometimes do in the military of each other. I get it. It comes from a good place. It comes
absolutely.
From caring and readiness and
I'm
stuff.
I'm not sure I'm going to know what that looks like or feels like. It's probably going to be a bit of a shock to the system initially.
But
like,
with that said, as employees of Shagger Media, I need to know what you're doing this weekend.
Apparently not having any fun.
Oh, you can have fun. I just need to see it on a piece of paper.
Absolutely.
Anything that's going to hurt that magical voice of yours. to a list to include going to metal concerts, yelling at neighbors. What other high-risk activities could we have for the voice here?
Well, I like my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone to a metal concert since 2011. And, yeah, I try not to do a lot of yelling. I'm a very loud person to begin with. I know it doesn't sound like it here,
yeah.
So we've been told, but I am a pretty loud person. Like the Mancini blood from my mom's side tends to flow out of me uncontrollably. And then growing up on a farm, you just have to be loud because big cows don't respond very well to, come here.
No. And generally machinery's noisy, so you have to scream over the top of the machinery.
Yeah.
There's a whole list of things that require you to be loud. You know, I've never really thought about it, but that does
explain,
weird. Like...
Yeah, the whole decibel damage thing. Yeah, that's probably why none of us can hear. It has nothing to do with explosions and detonations and stuff like that. It has everything to do with the fact that we all grew up around loud headphones and tractors.
And cows, apparently.
And cows.
Cows are just loud. Hager
grew up in a ballpark, so...
That's true.
That's true.
I did grow up in a ballpark.
All you had to listen to was...
Charge!
I guess to kind of get back to the Veterans Day thing, though, what is your guys' thoughts on being thanked for your service?
Cool. That's a tough question. It's awkward, but I get it. Like, so...
Like, we had a kid today at lunch come up and, hey guys.
Not only just, hey guys, thank you for your service, but he's like, thank you, sergeants. And I almost said, what did you call me?
Yeah.
But then
Sergeant
I was like...
Sergeant was my dad's name.
Right? So... But, you know, the audience wasn't there, but, I mean, he looked to be what? Late teens?
He's probably like 19, maybe
yeah,
20.
And maybe on his way into the military, or his dad or mom were in the military. So I get it. It came from a place of respect, but at the same time, it just made me feel awkward because I was just there for my pizza. And so, like, my thought is, like, I get it. It's not for me necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the person. Like, they want to help. They want to be part of something greater, and they want to thank us for
yeah,
our participation in this, in moving the Freedom Ball forward, and
Freedom Ball,
and that's how they do it. And there's, and that's an easy, and I believe to be honest way to just say thanks.
Yeah, I feel like for us, sometimes we just have to like get over the fact that it's awkward, because I think even if it was, if you're being thanked for anything, generally it ends up being this awkward situation. Unless you're a narcissist, but if you're just a normal human being, like being thanked, like you did the thing because you wanted to do that thing.
Right.
Right. So the thanks is unnecessary. And, you know, you just got to like take that with not like a grain of salt, but just like, you know, have a little bit of charity in yourself and let them express their gratitude. And I'm at a place now where I appreciate it. And then I'll thank them for thanking me. Like, hey, man, thanks for noticing.
Yeah, thanks for your support.
I tell them it's my pleasure. That's been my go-to for years.
Yeah, I was curious, because I think the thing for me is like it was awkward too.
Yeah,
like it always is in the beginning, especially like when you're out of basic and like you're out on like your post graduation with your family thing, mm-hmm. and people are saluting you and you don't really know how to handle yourself because you're a dumb boot. But like, like thanks.
# boots trip your waitress.
Yeah, exactly. But I think now like, when I think back to it, it was like that was the thing to do as a kid. Like when you saw a guy in uniform or like somebody from like my brother's older than me, so like my brother's friends would go off into the military and then like they'd come back to school to see everybody. Then it's like, oh, you want to talk to that person. Like it's cool when you're a kid. And then we become crusty old adults and we're like, wait a minute. You're thanking me for... Like I pushed at least 6 papers today. Like,
right. Just doing... That's
I think that's where my awkwardness comes from. Is,
like, I'm just doing a job.
Yeah, exactly. This is our 9-to-5. This is our... This is the way we provide livelihoods.
Absolutely. And it's a job we chose. It's not like the Korea guys, the Nam guys, the World War II guys. There's no draft, man. Like, you didn't get... Like, those guys, especially when I see those guys on a Veterans Day or this weekend, like, I'm going to go out of my way to thank... Sure. Like, those guys, a lot of those guys, you know, some chose to, some didn't, but, like, especially for those who didn't get a choice in the matter and went overseas and served this country for, you know... Regardless of the amount of time, man, like that they deserve our gratitude.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
That was something huge. So
they're the greatest generation for a reason. I jump on that bandwagon, man. You start talking about like trench warfare and up close fighting, and now granted, yes, in history it was the norm, but in history they didn't have guns when they were fighting you with spears. With big, sharp, pointy things on them known as bayonets that like leave trifold wounds.
To side tangent for a minute, man, there's a couple cool books about, like, the psychology that goes into, like, the military, and I don't want to push that book today, but what I want to do is loop back to, like, you're talking about those dudes in trenches. It just sprung my memory. Kansas City has the country's, like, the best World War I museum and memorial.
I think it's the only national level.
It's museum. The only national one for World War I, which is kind of a shame. But if you're in Kansas City, dudes, you hit it up, go down in there. I used to drag my poor wife there repeatedly when we'd go into the city, because for me, there's nothing better than like cruising through that. They got this really cool setup when you first walk in, where you're on glass and it's above a poppy field.
That's cool.
Yeah, super, super cool. Anyway, one of the times we were there, we ran into the last surviving World War I veteran prior to his passing. So I just like a random occurrence. I didn't get to say anything more than just kind of like, hi, shake his hand, move on. But yeah, like, that's a cool experience.
Yeah, that's really neat.
And we're gonna get to that point soon, with our World War II vets, then, where there's not many of them left.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many now. I think that's the biggest thing. Is one of the things, you know, this is Veterans Day time, and we're talking about it. And like, one of the things that makes me the most mad, and we try really hard in these episodes not to get like political or like,
please don't.
I'm not going social media like type deal.
Our ratings can't suffer a political hit, man.
But no, it's one of those things.
That's like torpedoing the USS Indianapolis into shark infested waters.
I agree. Don't do that. I agree. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going that far. I will say one of the most important things to me And this isn't just because I'm in the military. This isn't just because I have a high standing for people who've done the bad stuff. You have to remember history. You have to teach it. There's a reason all these things happen, and they usually revolve around poor decisions and bad things. If you choose, like, there's no living World War One vets. Slowly, with each year, there's less and less World War II veterans.
Yeah.
So you have to teach these things, because in 20, 30 years, when people aren't thinking about it and none of these guys are alive, that's what allows the history timer to reset itself. And then it's like, oh, okay. And then, you know, you stop teaching about it, you stop learning about it, then those things tend to happen again. Like, that's my biggest fear, is, like, I don't want World War II to happen again. You know, I don't want people like Hitler to come to power and do terrible things. And I feel like that's one of the big things, is, like, everybody thinks about Veterans Day, you know, thanking a veteran and the reasons behind it, and those are all great reasons.
But learning some history.
But you have to understand why it was a thing. And without that, you lose, really, to me, what the real meaning of it is.
You lose perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You lose perspective on the value of that history.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like to barbecue and hang out like everybody else, but...
Ain't no barbecuing in Minnesota on Veterans Day.
No.
It's cold.
No. It was 18 yesterday morning. I don't know what happened.
Fair weather barbecuer?
Well, no, I'm above freezing barbecuer.
I mean, it's a heat source.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I get where you're coming from. But that's just my big thing.
No, man, for sure.
That's.
I want to kind of, like, use that as a segue then, because we were going to talk about the charity we're working with this month and this idea. So along those lines with war and the stuff that comes with that and is the psychological effects that has on people. So... we're working with this month guys at Movember. So we stood up a challenge. Movember is one of the leading men's charities, charity for men's health. So their major things are other major men issues. They got prostate cancer, testicular cancer. But what we're specifically focusing on is the mental health and suicide prevention. I think a lot of times as dudes... our supervisor's one of those where you just, like, you tamp those down.
That's his go-to response, you
got to shove that down deep. But, like, if you perpetuate that, that's just you're perpetuating mental health issues and you're putting people in a position where suicide becomes something they feel like is their only out. So it's just, so this is something that's super important to us. And globally... man commits suicide every minute. So 60 dudes an hour are killing themselves. And then to speak nationally here in the United States, 75% of suicides are dudes. I don't know if you guys were aware of that.
Not till now.
75% of the people committing suicide in the United States are men. And so we just kind of want to bring men's mental health issues forward and try to put that in. So part of what we're doing, it's not a lofty goal by any means. We're trying to raise $200 this month towards that goal. And then to that end, we're growing particularly terrible facial hair.
So
if people ask us about our terrible facial hair, we can tell them the reason we're doing that.
We're growing these god-awful things for the greater good.
For the greater good. And then
spark conversation.
Exactly. Spark the conversation. And then we're trying to run 60 miles.
you guys are running 60 miles.
So, yeah, we should specify. We have... Ian's not a big fan of running, no.
The sword I chose to fall on for my share of the 60 miles is I decided that I was going to row my portion.
Yes.
Which, for any of you workoutaholics out there or gym rats, rowing is probably one of the worst things you can choose to do for 20 miles in a month. But that is what I've chosen to do.
How far are you up to?
I need my goal... 20 miles is 32,187 meters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at 10,000 and some change.
That's that. So you're getting there.
Hey,
man, we're like a week in. Yeah, he's crushing it at this point.
It goes a lot faster. It's the the whole body motivation, because I'm going to wake up tomorrow and feel like jello.
Yeah, man.
Because there's workouts on top of these. It's not, you know, I'm not going in there and jumping on the rower. I'm getting downtown Charlie Brown and other workouts.
Joke's too, on so. You. I'm just running.
Yeah. Cheaters.
Yeah, so 60 miles, you know, just to kind of draw attention to that. That's why that number, 60 miles for the 60 men every hour. But then I wanted to, I guess, just talk about, like, we're doing the first step in this, which is having a conversation about men's mental health. Yep. And how dudes don't want to have a conversation. So talking about it, their steps are asking. We can ask how the other individual is doing, mm-hmm. not just revolving our conversations around a video game or a sports team, or, you know, when it's pretty obvious when one of us is down or yeah. not mm-hmm. in the right frame of mind, rather than just, like, I don't know, like letting them isolate themselves and figure that out, like taking the time to ask and then going back to that talking, having
work.
A conversation.
It takes
yeah.
effort and it takes work. And yeah. those are.
And then once you've asked, ask intentionally, ask for real, and then listen. You're not just like, this isn't just like yeah. off the cuff, hey, you all right? And then, like, as soon as it starts sounding like they want to tell you something.
They tell you about my kitchen remodel, Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, shut your suck hole for a second.
Yeah, no. Just, yeah.
Open your earballs.
Open your earballs. Listen to what it is they have to say, and then, you know, encourage them. Encourage action. Talk to them about the things they can do. We've all been through, Steve's been through a bit of resiliency training, like decent ones, and yeah. so, you know, giving them, and the military does a good job of hooking us up with resources. There's a few places to go. There's, you know, Military One Source. You'll probably let you speak on Boulder Crest for a second since I'm done here.
Sure.
And then just ways to get help, things that we can do that are off the record. Like, you go to Military One Source, man, that's not a trip to the chaplain. It's not a trip yeah. to these other guys where you're supposed to feel like there's no chance of reprisal with those situations, but we've all been in the military long enough. There's stigmas. Even if there's not a direct...
The Military One Source, and I'll clarify in the show notes as I'm kind of talking off the top of my head. I did that many years, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I called and got my, I think it's 6 or 8. So there's 6 or 8 free appointments,
right.
no questions asked. It's over a telephone. Mm-hmm. You talk to a mental health provider. And that was, for me, it was an important first step. That was my first step in my journey out of where I was at.
Right. And it's right there, and it's,
yeah.
there's no way to trace
well,
that
the,
back
the
to
brilliance,
you.
The brilliance of it is the only person who knew about it was me. The other person on the other end of the phone, they care for you. They have a genuine desire to help you, but they don't know who Shagger is. It's just a dude yeah. on a phone. It's important though. Like it makes it easier to talk. If you can talk about it over the phone with that stranger who has no buy-in on what things are going on in your life, then it helps you make it a little easier to talk to somebody else, maybe in your circle, whether it's your significant other or it's your friends or mm-hmm. Or even going to go see counselors in person. The Men's One Source was kind of captured all in was an essential tool in how I kind of mm-hmm. I got back to where I'm at.
I think you need people to kind of break that mold too.
Yeah.
So same thing. I mean, you know, we've all talked about our experiences amongst ourselves, but for me, like, the big thing with seeking some kind of mental health assistance, it was more so like, yeah, there's the stigma there, but it's more so like, that's a pretty big personal wall that you have to let down. And luckily, coming out of a bad situation, my case was the person I sought after, our mental health individual, is actually someone to this day I consider, you know, a great friend. And I think that really helped kind of open the door for me, because the situation that happened wasn't, you know, that was like kind of like the last straw deal.
Yeah.
And then, but as you learn, and as you guys all know, as you go through it, you learn there's other things, you know, it's not just that one thing. It's never just that one thing that sets it. There's usually, most times it starts in your childhood.
It does.
I mean, there's
not to ruin the spoiler,
there's no, yeah, not to bury
it's a compounding
yeah.
issue with And then it's taking into consideration everything going on in your life. It's the cross-sectionality of all these things, the financial, mm-hmm, the spiritual right. health that you have, the relationships you have with people, and how these things tie into who and what you are as a person, how you identify and just exist as a human being, yeah. and what's my place in all of this. And when all of these conflicting things are adding stressors to your life, very easy to reach a place where, like, well, would it be easier if?
Right.
Right.
And then if you didn't, like, for me, I discovered that sleep was dry, and still to this day, or lack thereof, drove a lot of my like now time depression. And this is my PSA on go get a good night's sleep, bomb dad friends.
Absolutely.
Like, if I don't get 7 hours a night and I consecutively do that, I am in a hole. Like, I am in a deep, dark hole. I am depressed. I'm angry. I feel worthless. Like, and
I'm smiling and compound
it on all these other things. It just, yeah, it.
No, it's funny you talked about sleep just now. So I was listening to other people's podcasts, obviously, but Nike Training Club.
Yeah.
Some of us here have used the app before to just hang out in the gym, do some mm-hmm. things. So they have a podcast as well. LeBron James was on it.
Who's LeBron James?
He's the hockey player, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So LeBron's the greatest basketball player of all time.
LeBron James is on the episode, and like they were literally just wrapping up and kind of finishing talking about like his training regimen and stuff like that. And LeBron James said the number one performance enhancing drug legal is sleep.
Yeah.
Like that's that man, so obviously a professional athlete, but he's talking like it's 8 hours regimented. If he does not do that, he does not perform well. And sometimes if he's stressing himself, it's mid-season, he's looking for 10 hours. If we're not cutting that out for ourselves, we're only doing ourselves a disservice.
I read an article recently where LeBron talked about that. I'll link it in the show notes, but cool. His regimen is based on, like you said, 10 hours of
and recovery. Sleep and recovery, man. Like, oftentimes we're thinking about, like, how are we going to fit all this stuff into our day? And we plan, like, the activities. We plan our workout. We plan what are these other functions. Mm-hmm. But we never plan out you never plan out sleep.
Oh, no.
It happens when you figure, like, just at the end of the day you roll in.
When you drop.
And I'm done.
And I'm done. Yeah. So if we can loop that, just kind of think and put sleep out there, it plays a part in our mental health, obviously.
Oh, for sure. And it's a bigger building block in the larger scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Because something I struggled with for years, I'm not going to go too far down on the rabbit hole on the Bomb Dad podcast, because I think that's another podcast that we could potentially do a t-shirt about.
Absolutely, yep. But there's other resources out there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and something I, for years, I thought it was going to be a one-shot deal. Like, what's that one thing? Whether it's a pill, it's talking to a doctor, it's an app, or what is that one magic bullet that's going to make me be happy? What's that one thing that's going to fix my mental health? Well, as I learned, it's not a one-shot deal. There's many things. Small decisions daily result in a large aggregate of problems. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about sleep, you know, trying to pull out 4 hours of sleep a night for years on end turns out is really bad for your mental health. Not eating properly, that's another aggregate. You know, I'm not saying we can't go get a cheeseburger every once in a while, but the fact that we had delicious pizza at lunch, I probably shouldn't have delicious pizza for dinner.
Right. Does this help my process?
Right.
Is the thing I'm about to go do, does that help my process?
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you guys. Like, this, we're at the end. We're day 12 on our work week. Mm-hmm. I think I felt like complete garbage yesterday going home, and I had to stop. I went to a park by the Mississippi River, walked down, and 20 minutes outside. Just 20 minutes outside. Give me way more. And your mouth and stuff. So go ahead.
No, it's just like every time you like you, it's like you're in my head. But like another super cool podcast, Shankar Vedantham. He hosts this podcast that talks about it's Hidden Brain. It's things we don't understand about our brains that they're doing. And like last month, they had an episode about time spent outside. And its impact on your mental health and how it pays dividends. So the difference, so you don't, it's not as if you have to spend time outside all the time, but 10 minutes outside for one like person in the study versus the other person not getting that, like not only did it help them right then, it paid dividends down the road. The following week, this person couldn't go outside again, but they were still, because of that initial
time outside.
So it just builds on itself. So yeah, there's a place for getting outside of our cubicles, outside our of our house. and just taking in, like, we're, human being was meant to spend some time outside, right?
Oh, for sure. Like, and it's just, it's one of those little building blocks. And like, I could sit here, I could probably go another hour.
Yeah, I got a bunch of them. I mean,
fun stuff.
The biggest thing I've found that works for me, anybody who listens to this show, has had a conversation with somebody, has breathed a breath of air at one point in their life, has probably said, oh, I have to go to work. I have to get up tomorrow at 6. You know, I have to work a long week this week. You have to, and this is something I've tried really hard to do myself, you have to train your mind as those are opportunities. Those are get-tos.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, I don't, like, I'm going to leave here. I don't have to go home and, you know, spend time with my family, spend time with my kid. I get to go home and spend time
with my family. That's really
well said. I have a 20-minute drive home. I get to enjoy 20 minutes in the car by myself. Now, oh, I got to sit in traffic. Oh, you know, oh, whatever.
Yeah, it's a choice.
You have to,
choosing.
And as a person who we all know, myself, I'm a very pessimistic person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, guys, for that pat on the back. But I know.
That's a 3 pat on the back.
I go to therapy about stuff like this. But no, that's like, that's a very real thing for me, is I'm a very, by trait, pessimistic person. And it's taken me basically 26 years of my life to figure out that I have to retrain my mind to do something different. There's a lot of good in all of our lives that we have that we don't ever think about.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, doing this podcast, I get to do this podcast. To me, this is fun. This is something we get together. The three of us have conversations all day, every day. Whether anybody listens to this or not, we're still going to have those conversations.
Sure.
Now we get the platform, and
it's a joy of sharing this. It's a joy of creating. It's art.
You get topics like this. Like, most of the time we're laughy, we're jokey, we're always talking about sleep or, you know, the god-awful video game episodes where we just nerd out for 45 minutes. We're not allowed to do those anymore. But, like, I think you have to have, you know, these kind of conversations.
Oh, you
know, you can't be afraid, going back to the whole Movember reason and, you know, the things behind it. You have to be willing to at some point put yourself out there. And I feel like in today's, like, society, there's not enough of that. There's too many people standing with their toes dangling off the cliff wondering if they should jump in or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta, at some point, you have to sell out for yourself. You know, you have reasons why you do it. You know, I have a family. You know, we all have family. We have kids. We have people we want to, you know, make sure that we're good for. But at the end of the day, like, you got to do it for yourself.
It's weird when the thing that you should do is uncomfortable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, being a decent person.
Being better. Mm-hmm. Making yourself better. Well, that doesn't come naturally to people.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't come naturally to treat yourself better, to give yourself respect and give yourself nourishment, all these things. Like, that feels weird, right?
It's uncomfortable.
It's
the way we're built. It goes back to, I don't remember what episode number it is. Anyway, it was when I was talking about the whole getting weird thing. Like,
that was early on.
I feel like it was episode two or something. But, like, you have to, Rob, you just laughed at, you got to get weird. Yeah. But that's the truth. I'm not talking go home, get in your Snuggie, and watch Cops weird, but, like,
what's wrong with that? You just described a Saturday night for me.
At the Hager household.
I mean, if that's how you choose to decompress.
I might also have a hat with a light on it, so when they're chasing people,
you can turn your siren on.
And it's interactive.
See, and that's the thing, but, like, you have to be willing to just, you can't be afraid to talk to somebody. You can't be afraid to admit, oh, hey, you know, I've had this thought, or I've had this conversation with myself, because there's been times, I don't think I've ever met a person who's ever sat and said, hey, you know, when I'm sitting by myself in my ride home, or if I'm sitting, you know, or if I'm down in the dumps one day.
Yeah.
I think everybody has that what if. I don't think it goes, because, like, as I've learned, like, that was one of the things that concerned me, is, like, if I have this what if thought, am I a suicidal person? And that's not the definition.
Right.
The definition is if you're continually reaching that final goal of committing that act. I think everybody has the what if. I think
but if you're there, you like it's that's a time to talk.
That's exactly.
To,
that's when you have to admit. Like,
and I'm not. And when I say talk, I don't mean well, drop everything and mm-hmm. go to the emergency room. But like, find that person you trust and have a conversation. Let them know, I'm not doing good. I need to talk to somebody now.
For me, it was Taylor. Yeah. Honest to God, I mean, we all talk about loving being married, but it took her saying, "Stop doing this. Stop." Just pushing this down. Stop letting this get to where it is. Like, you're sleeping X amount of hours a day. Some days all day you don't even get off the couch.
Yeah.
Like, it took her to say, hey, something is wrong. Go do something about it. You've never been a person who sits back and just lets bad or just doesn't try to get things better. Like, you're a problem solver. It's our job. It's built into us.
Yeah.
Why are you sitting here just not pushing to make this thing that's bugging you go away or help it in some way? And for some reason that finally just clicked in my mind. I was like, yes, I'm in a sense, like, to be frank, I'm being an asshole. I'm being mm-hmm. selfish. Like, I'm worrying about me. I'm only dealing with my woes, and I need to fix myself. There's people who depend on me in my life mm-hmm. that I need to be there for, and I need to be present for.
Yeah.
And if I'm depressed or I'm having thoughts or any situation you can come up with in your mind, it's on you to just get up and do something about it.
Yeah. And that first step, that's a doozy.
The first step's always the hardest.
It takes a lot of work to get to that point.
But I guess that's what brings it all the way back around then, is the fact that why we're doing the Movember thing to begin with. It's to have a conversation, because of people grow up in a, like, their community of people doesn't understand or doesn't talk about these things. You don't know
it's uncomfortable.
You don't know that it's something you can talk about, and then that's what causes that repression, that stuffing it down. So if we're having a conversation about mental health and we're helping somebody else realize, like, hey, these are things you can talk about, then we've done something.
Yeah.
And then growing our disgusting facial hair and
lip caterpillars.
helping people get, just having conversation starter, like, even if it's just in that small group of friends that we know here at work and outside of work, and they're like, why on earth are you putting that on your face right now?
It's funny you should ask.
Yeah, but and now I can have another conversation, and I can help normalize discussions around mental health. Stop stigmatizing it. Stop making it something that we make fun of people for. It's not a funny topic.
Or even worse, when we devalue somebody.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have seen it in our profession. And
they have even done it.
Yeah.
To be completely honest.
Yeah. At some point, I guarantee I've done it, even just devaluing people who need help. I won't say that's as bad as being a boot and not tipping your waitress, but
that's pretty bad, man. And it's
there.
But
To take away someone's self-worth is
because of a struggle.
Because
going
of a struggle, and same thing, you know. We can laugh and joke about it, man. But like, we all have, and our career field has a terrible stigma. Like, I'll say it here right now.
Am I going to censor this?
No, I am an EOD tech. Yes, mm-hmm. I've never deployed. I've never seen the guys you think.
Doesn't matter.
Things you guys see. It has nothing to do with that.
You don't have to document your worth. You're worth a lot to me.
That is, so just reaching to the EOD tech community, there's been a handful of people who I know closely myself in the past year or two that have committed suicide.
Yeah.
They're part of this career field. Whether they're out now, they're still active, whatever. Stop being douchebags about it. Like, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
The shit we have to deal with needs to be put out there. Just because you're a cool guy, just because you do this for a living, doesn't mean you're prone or you're any less prone than somebody who doesn't. So, like, if you have issues, just go out and talk about them. We're tough guys. That's the persona we put on. We all want to be big, bad, and cool, but when it comes time to talk about our feelings, we're not the big, bad, cool guy anymore. It's cool to talk about your feelings. It's like that scene from Billy Madison where he goes and throws the water on his pants because the kid peed himself. That's okay. That's a great association. Like, that's how you have to be.
No, we can't. You're right on, man. The money. We can't devalue other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know my opinions of, like, the dignity of, like, humanity, of another human being. That's, and, like, how is that not your top priority? Like, how is, like, the conversations and the relationships we have with other people, like, if you have, I don't know, maybe some people don't have good relationships, they've never felt that, but when you have a relationship with another human being, there is something exchanged between that and in that that feeds both of you in such a way that you leave feeling better. And if you're in a place like, I mean, and maybe this is a wake-up call for somebody, but if you're in a place where, like, ridiculing other human beings or devaluing somebody else is what it takes to make you feel good, like, it's a chance to reevaluate, like, your life, your position, like maybe that's your chance now to understand, like, maybe I need to, like, evaluate myself on the inside, not just, like what's my mental state? Like, is this my coping mechanism? Like, what's causing
my coping mechanism to burn other people?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. But, like, there's a sanctity and a dignity that comes with each and every human being. And to take that away from somebody is just one of the foulest things you can do.
You're never too late. It's never too late to change, man.
That's absolutely the other part of it, man. The worst human beings on earth have within them the ability to change.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's there, man. Like, you just got to grab that and you got to recognize it and you got to find a community of other people that are with you. If the people that are around you are dragging you down, move outside of that. Like, there's we're right back at the beginning of the episode, but, like, it's the intersectionality of it all, man. There isn't one part of this.
Nothing happens in a vacuum.
No, it's the layers that create who we are. It's our experiences, it's our relationships, and if those experiences and relationships aren't good and healthy and that's causing you pain, like, go find people that understand your value as a human being. Find a new family and a new community of people that are going to lift you up, because there is something amazing that happens when you have good relationships with other humans. Something outside, like, the physical, that's just there. And you know it, and you can feel it, and you feel better for existing in that.
All right, man. Last attacks. Ian, since I looked at you first.
Yeah, so as we did with last week's episode, and as we are going to continue to do forward, we have our newest fan of the week.
Who is our fan of the week?
Going junior this week.
She is going to be our junior fan of the week.
What?
Not because she's any less, but because she is a youngin. Her name is Luna. She is one and soon to be two.
Got a Christmas birthday coming up.
She's got a Christmas birthday coming. If you want more information on Luna, please refer to Rob. But she loves butter.
Super big fan.
And she's a huge fan of this show. And when she found out last week, she listens to all of our episodes, which hopefully we don't swear too much. Sorry, Luna's mom. But probably shouldn't listen until the end of this episode. But
just
she, just fast forward to the end. But she sent a picture of how upset Luna was with her face and her thing of butter that she was.
She's just eating butter.
She was playing with.
Mainly to repress all of the negative emotions she was having because she was not fan of the week last week.
She was upset that she was not our fan of the week. And being that we were all dads and family individuals, it struck a chord with us. So, Luna, you are the Bomb Dad, Episode 7, Junior Fan of the Week.
Woo! Yay, Luna!
Woo! So, as always, be ready. Be on the lookout for our social media posts on our Facebook page, Bomb Dad Podcast. You type us in there, we're the only one.
Also Instagram.
And Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter. And bombdad.captivate.fm also.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it works, just quick rundown again. You get chosen based on how you interact with the group. If there's only one of you, chances are you might be the fan of the week.
Super easy.
It's pretty easy. All you have to do is like, share, or comment on one of our posts, or send a heart-rearing picture of you with your face down in butter, and we'll get you there. So be on the lookout for those social media posts. We love talking to you guys. We love hearing your inputs and criticisms, critiques, things you like about the show.
Yeah, keep giving us feedback,
keep
man.
Keep them coming, and you'll find yourself here one day.
That's how we learned where the gain button was on the microphone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Critique.
Thanks, random critiquer.
Robin, last attacks, what do you got for us?
You know, not much. We've gone long. I'm not going to worry about sharing anything else. I think we'll just pay attention to the social medias. We'll continue to post out about the Movember. Ian's rowing, me and Hager's running.
And all the dirty mustaches you can handle.
A couple dirty mustache pictures. And if you guys feel so inclined, please, we'll leave a link to donate. We're currently at $55 of our $200 goal, so feel free to throw in $2-3 and together we can make a little bit of impact in the world.
I love it. Cool. Love the positive impact, helping others. I think we should keep doing that. Because I feel better when we help people. That's a fact.
Yeah, man.
The people are helping us. Just run down our affiliates real quick. Of course, if you need some graphic design work, go see our friends over at Newbie Game Design. Or if you're looking to run your own podcast empire, Captivate.fm. Our affiliate links will be in the show notes for this. And you can also find them on our Facebook page as well. Quick shout out to friends of the show. Ian.
Once again, back again, is Hangar Queen. They are our go-to flight patch company. They're friends of the show. They are military members who have also created their own business adventure. And the beginning of this was the to help support those veteran groups.
Yep.
So they like us. We like them. Go check them out on Facebook. Hangar Queen, H-A-N-G-A-R, Queen, as in Freddie Mercury.
Actual. And then, of course, our friend the maintenance mechanic, who happens to be Luna's dad. That's not a coincidence.
A fine purveyor and Instagram influencer of all things maintenance related. If you are an aspiring entrepreneur who's selling something related to the maintenance world, whether it be a tool, whether it be clothing, hit up the maintenance mechanic. He will test run that in the real world for you, leave reviews, and help you pimp out your products.
Nice.
So that's your hookup.
And I got one quick one. Not an affiliate, not a friend, not a not any advertising related. Robin alluded to it a little bit earlier. If any of this is resonating with you and you're a veteran or just
even if you're not,
even if you're not, you're looking to support a really awesome organization. Take a look at the Bouldercrest Institute. If you Google Bouldercrest, their mission and their research into post-traumatic growth, which I'm a huge fan of. They take a look at what they're doing. It's an amazing program, and it's incredibly helpful. So I'd encourage you to head over and check them out. Boulder Crest, and their link will be in the show notes as well.
Sweet.
Wow, that was a good one, boys. We got into a positive note. Ian, dad joke, go.
Go around. I gotta think of one.
Pass.
All right, Hager, what did the green grape say to the purple grape?
I don't know, Robin. What did the green grape say to the purple grape?
Breathe, idiot. Breathe.
I love it. Well, internet friends, we will catch you next week. Stay classy and happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day.
Thank you for your service.
Thank me for my service.
If you're not downloading Shagger Media, what kind of media are you downloading? This has been a proud production of the Shagger Media Empire.